I too am glad to see Brother Bill and Sister Kay. If I heard right, they had a flat tire this morning. They're not late if they're coming. But you know, sometimes that's all it takes for some people to say, well, I guess I can't go to church today. But they're here and didn't let that stop them. So we appreciate not only them, but everyone who put forth an effort. And I know it's an effort, but it's a good effort. Because we're going with the intention and the hope of receiving a blessing as we worship together. Before I get into my message this morning, a couple quick announcements that I could have made earlier, I guess. But next Sunday night is our third Sunday singing service. And we always look forward to our special singers sharing song with us. But this coming Sunday night, if you can spare a few minutes after the service, we're going to have some fellowship dessert downstairs this time. And don't you worry about desserts. A couple of the ladies are already committed to providing desserts for those that stay. And we're hoping to do that ongoing for our third Sunday singing, a little fellowship afterwards. So maybe we can rotate who brings desserts, but it's covered for this time. So you may want to look forward to that. Also, this past weekend was the Southwestern District Missionary Baptist Associational meeting, and enjoyed both days. And this Wednesday night, I'm going to devote the service to going through what took place at the association and going through the topics. Because of COVID, we had half-day sessions both days. And the topics that were submitted were not read at the association. The messengers just took them home Friday night, read them, came back on Saturday and approved them. They will be in the minute books months from now. But, you know, people that are involved in topics, they put a lot of thought and effort and prayer into their topics. So we'll share those on Wednesday night as well. And our messengers will have opportunity Wednesday to talk as well. But there may be someone here that was a messenger that would like to say something. And I will say this too. I appreciate those from our church who did attend the association. If I counted correctly, I think Crossroads had more representation than any other church there. So I appreciate those that made the effort to come and be a part of that. Any messenger want to speak now or you want to wait till Wednesday? It's up to you. Want to add anything now? Okay. Be prepared Wednesday to share then. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want to read from the New Testament, the book of Philippians. And I'm going to be reading from chapter 2. But before I get to my reading, as we think about the epistle of Paul to the Philippians, and he was writing to them, and him and Timothy were there, and I like that verse 27 of the first chapter, because he tells them there, he says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And that right there is an encouragement to all of God's people. And the encouragement is we've got to be steadfast. No matter what's going on around about us, no matter what's happening, God's people need to remain steadfast and share what's important. And he tells us exactly what's important here. And then he goes on into chapter 2, and he's continuing this exhortation. And he's exhorting them to love one another. And he's exhorting them to be in unity. And he's exhorting them to exhibit humility in their life. And I want to begin reading in verse 5. And he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I'm going to stop with those verses for my scripture reading. But I'm going to take a text from John's Gospel, the 20th chapter and the 31st verse. And it says, "But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Now, I don't know if from my readings if you've got a hint about what my sermon is going to be about this morning, but I'm titling my message this morning, "The Name of Jesus." The name of Jesus. What just came to your mind when I said the word Jesus? You don't have to say it out loud, but you know, my point is I want us to consider what's in a name. And, you know, just the mention of someone's name sets off a chain reaction of thoughts in our minds, because, you know, you just mention a name, and if it's somebody that we know and it's somebody that we're familiar with, it brings to our mind things about that person that bears that name. And, you know, their name is a reflection of all that they were if they've passed from this life. But if they're still amongst us today, it's all about who they are. And at the mention of that person's name, we think about all the things that we've experienced with that person, the contact that we had with them, and the life that we shared with them. And even if we don't know the person, if we've just heard about people or been told about people or we've read about them, whatever the case may be, subconsciously when that we hear that name, it crosses our mind. And so my thought today is the name of Jesus and the mention of the name Jesus evokes feeling to us as well. Participation this morning, your highway hymn book, turn to page 181 for a moment. And don't listen to the way I sing it, but this is a praise song is what I would call it, 181. And sing it with me, "The Name of Jesus," "The Name of Jesus." Let's see, I'm getting there. All right. "Jesus, Jesus, I can't hear you, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name." Isn't there? There's something about that name. If you run references in your Bible, you'll see that there are some 150 names that are used in reference to Jesus. You know, we sing another song sometimes. I'm not going to make you sing it. But it's entitled, "What a Lovely Name." And it tells us in that song, it tells us there's a name above all others. And it brings hope and cheer. And it says it's the lovely name of Jesus. It goes on to say that through his name, there's wondrous powers. And it goes on to say power to redeem, making sinners clean. And it concludes by telling us that he'll, referring to Jesus, that he will return in clouds of glory. And saints of every race shall behold his face and with him enter into heaven's city, ever to acclaim. What a lovely name. So what does the name of Jesus mean to those of us who know him? What does it mean to us who know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal, intimate way? What does the name of Jesus mean to those of us that have been saved? Those of us that have a profession of faith? His name means exactly what it says in Scripture. I'm not going to list all 150 things, but it tells us there, the name of Jesus. When Jesus was speaking to Joseph, he told him his name will be Jesus, and he'll save his people from his sins. In the Word of God, he's referred to as Redeemer, and many, many others, Savior. When we hear the name of Jesus, we think about God incarnate. We think about Him embodied in flesh. We think about Him in human form. When we hear the name of Jesus, I imagine our minds go back to a baby that was being born in a manger. I imagine we think about the healing of Jesus in His ministry. And we think about the compassion that Jesus had to those that were suffering, both physically and spiritually. I think it reminds us of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where He was betrayed in that garden. We think about the cross of Calvary, and we think about the crucifixion that Jesus endured at that place. Oh, we think about the empty tomb where Jesus resurrected, He arose from the dead. We think about the blood that was shed that you and I and all in the world might be able to experience salvation. When we hear the name of Jesus, we think about forgiveness and we think about eternal life. But what about those who don't know Jesus the same way that you know Jesus? What about those that don't know Jesus the same way that I know Jesus? Those that aren't saved, those that don't have a profession of faith, those that are lost in their sins without hope. Well, we know from teachings throughout time that there were many people that they just thought that Jesus was a good teacher. They just thought that Jesus, well, he was a good man. You know, some have gone to church as a child and they know some of the Bible stories about Jesus. Do you realize this morning that everyone, nobody's excluded, but everyone has an opinion about Jesus. Everybody has an opinion about Jesus. But that opinion for those that aren't saved is usually, it's usually not formed by the reading of the Word of God or by attending church. For the most part, I believe, brothers and sisters, the way that most people form their opinion about the Lord Jesus Christ is by the words and by the actions of those who claim His name. You know who those are, right? Christians. Christians, we bear His name. We bear the name of Jesus Christ. And just by calling ourselves Christians, we're bearing the name. The word Christian identifies with the name of Jesus Christ. And when we call ourselves Christians, we are identifying with Him. Most have heard things about Jesus, but you know what? Nothing speaks louder than the actions of those who claim His name. We are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. We represent Jesus to the world. But here's the thing. We can be a positive bearer of the name of Jesus, and we can lift Him up in His deserved glory. Or we can be a negative bearer of the name of Jesus, and we can drag His name through the mud. Oh, not me, Pastor. I would never do that to my Savior. Let me just share with you for a minute how we can tear down the name of Jesus. The most obvious one is we can tear down the name of Jesus with our personal lives. Some bear the name of Jesus, and I'm just telling you like it is. Some bear the name of Jesus, and they live like the devil. There are others that, and you may know some people like that, and hopefully it's none of us that are here today. They can tell you what the Bible says about a subject, and then they'll follow it up with the dirtiest, rankest joke that you've ever heard. I have experienced that. I have witnessed that my own self. They tell everybody that they know Jesus and that they go to church. And then they prove to the world just how much that the Lord Jesus means to them by the way that they're living their life in front of lost people. So what is this kind of life? What does this kind of person say about the name of Jesus? I don't guess we think about it very often, but in reality, what it tells the world is, you know what? Jesus doesn't have the power to change anybody's life. That's not what the song we heard just sang. He does have that power. But it tells the world that, you know what? The Lord doesn't have any relevance in the world. He doesn't have any relevance in my life. It tells the world that Jesus can't make any real difference in people's lives. Some people bear the name of Jesus, but they don't express the love that Jesus expressed to us. You may know some of those people too. They're the ones that in the name of Jesus, they see every problem that everybody else has. And they're the ones that are all law and they're no grace. They have no concept of their own faults, but they're completely aware of everybody else's faults. They claim the benefit of God's forgiveness, but they don't give anyone else the very same benefit. What does that person say about the name of Christ? It tells the world that Jesus doesn't offer us any hope. He doesn't offer any help to those that are in need. It tells the world that Jesus has no mercy. It tells the world that Jesus has no grace for a sinner. It tells the world that they can't find forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ because they're watching those that bear the name of Jesus. We can even go beyond our personal lives and we can go into our churches and we can tear down the name of Jesus in our churches too. Oh no, Pastor, don't say that. Listen, it's the truth. Nothing has destroyed the work of the Lord more than a church where Jesus is not the focus. Jesus is not the focus. But listen this morning. Although they bear the name of Jesus, everything they do has no bearing on Jesus. Everything they do has no bearing on what the will of God is. These types of churches make the old saying famous. The old saying is that I don't want to go to church with what? A bunch of hypocrites. I don't want to go to church with a bunch of hypocrites. What hurts so bad is that many times that saying is true. Churches can have hypocrites among them. You believe that? What's a hypocrite? A hypocrite is someone who's a fraud. A hypocrite is somebody who's a phony. A hypocrite is someone who's an imposter. A hypocrite is someone who just makes believe. They're play actors. A hypocrite is someone that claims to have certain beliefs about what's right and who believes in a certain way, but everything that they do by their behavior disagrees with what those beliefs are. You don't want that in your church. If you're looking for a church, you don't want a membership made of a bunch of people who are play acting that they're Christians. What does a church like that say about the name of Jesus? It tells the world that Jesus doesn't really make a difference. It tells the world that that Jesus' stuff is not real. That's recorded in this precious book right here. It tells the world to look somewhere else. Look somewhere else for hope because the church doesn't offer it. I'll tell you this morning, I'm thankful this morning it's not that way here at Crossroads Missionary Baptist Church. But we need to be aware it's that way in other places. And we've got to be careful that it never becomes that way here. That's why we have the seven churches of Asia in the book of Revelation so that we can learn and we read about it. We can learn about the mistakes that churches have made in the past. And we can see where we are in relationship to that. Brother Dwayne did a study in the men's group a while back on those seven churches. And the emphasis was on what kind of a church do we look like compared to the other churches. It was a wonderful study. I wish you all could have heard it. But it makes a difference. And I'm glad we're not like that here at Crossroads. But I can tell you what the word says here. The word says we need to exalt the name of Jesus. We don't want the name of Jesus to not be the focus. We want the name of Jesus to be the focus. We want him to be what people see in our lives. I don't want them to see me. I want them to see Jesus through me. We want him to be the focus, and we want him to be exalted. But brothers and sisters, how do we exalt Jesus? You know, we got to ask ourselves, you know, how do we lift him up? How do we intensify Jesus to the world today? How do we praise? How do we acclaim the name of Jesus? The obvious answer, as I've already said, is with our personal lives. And there's a difference. You can see it. You know, some bear the name of Jesus and they live like Jesus. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, and you may know these people, they are the people that you want to be with. You want to be around them because there's something different about them than what you find out in the world today. They not only talk about Jesus, but they live every day of their life for the Lord. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that they're perfect, because none of us are perfect. But I'm talking about people that are consistent in their walk for the Lord. They not only talk the talk, but they walk the walk. And brothers and sisters, there's a huge difference between those two things. I need to get off of Facebook. I need to get off of Facebook. I get so tired of seeing people proclaiming things about God and how great God is, and their life doesn't support it. And I don't know if they're trying to convince everybody in the world that they're a godly person, but those that know them, remember I said at the beginning, when we hear a name, it means something? I see those things, and I'm talking about people in my own family that are like that. I want to see people that don't just talk the talk. I want to see people who walk the walk. That's the best testimony that a person can give to exalt the name of Jesus. If you are going to wear the name Christian, it means you are Christ-like. And that ought to be evident in every one of our lives. Some bear the name of Jesus because they follow and serve him. And you know what a life like that says about the name of Jesus? It tells us that, you know, Jesus can, and that Jesus will change lives. That's what I've been preaching for over 40 years. That Jesus makes a difference in our lives, and that people need to be saved. Because if they leave or depart this world unsaved, they're going to spend eternity separated and apart from God. And based on the descriptions that we find in God's word about hell, I wouldn't want my worst enemy. I don't think I have any worst enemies, but if I had a worst enemy, I would care enough about them that I wouldn't want them to spend eternity in hell. The name of Jesus tells people that Jesus is relevant. When we share the word of God, he is relevant in this world in which we live today, in our lives today, just as relevant as he's going to be when we depart this place and those of us are saved go to heaven. Jesus makes a difference in people's lives. If you're like me, I've experienced many different things in my life. Some very joyous occasions and some that just tore me to the core of my soul. But those are things that I can share with people to encourage them in their walk and let them know that, you know, Jesus is relevant. He's relevant because he has seen me through all of those things, through the good times and through the bad times. Jesus has been there. You can't convince me that he's not relevant because I know it for a fact, because he lives within my soul. I have the indwelling of the Spirit of God within me. He's real. And I want you to know today that he's real. And he can be real to you today as well. Some bear the name of Jesus. And they love like Jesus did. There are people who don't avoid calling sin, sin, beginning in their own lives. They know that nobody's perfect except for Jesus. And they know that Jesus died to cover the sins for all theirs and everybody else's. They know the power of God's grace And they know the power of the mercy of God toward them and the mercy that God extends to others. And they know the forgiveness of God and how God can extend forgiveness to others. And they're not afraid to share that. What does the life of this person say about the name of Jesus? Well, it tells the world that there is hope for a better life. People need to know in this world. I look around and see how the sufferings of people, the addictions of people, and all the things that people are going through. And many of them don't think there is any hope. They don't think there's any way out. But listen, there is hope in Jesus. God is a God of grace. And He is a God of love. We who act this way, we who demonstrate this kind of love, we tell the world that Jesus does have the power of forgiveness. Not only does He have the power of forgiveness, but He has the power of restoration. In other words, He has the ability to bring any and every individual back into a relationship with God the Father that was separated, severed because of sin. But God will express and extend mercy and grace to each and every one. Brothers and sisters, we can and we should exalt the name of Jesus in our churches. He's the one that we teach about. I just came out of a Sunday school class. And in that Sunday school class, we exalted the name of Jesus through the teaching of the lesson today. He's the one that we sing to. As the choir sang this morning, as Sister Lisa sang her song, how we were uplifting the name of Jesus through song, messages that should have affected our soul, but also enabled us in our worship unto the Lord. He's the one that we pray to here. We pray unto the Lord. We're not praying to any man. We're not praying to any individual other than God. That's who we're praying to. He's the one that we've gathered here today that we might be able to worship Him. And He is the one that we want to exalt, that we want to lift up, that we want to praise above everything else in our lives. This is when the people of the church realize they're a part of something that is bigger than them. You know, this is when the people of the church realize that they're a part of something that's not even about them. This is when the people of the church make a real difference in the world for Jesus. That's a topic that's going to be at in 2022 at the association, about how that we reach people outside these four walls. Should be a good topic. What does the church say about Jesus? Well, I believe what the church is supposed to say about Jesus is that Jesus is real. I believe the church should express that the love of Jesus, it's real. The hope of Jesus, it's real. And that His people, Christians, are real as well. In my text, John chapter 20 and verse 31, John said, "But these are written." What things were written? He said, "But these things are written." He was talking about the things about Jesus. He was talking about the gospel. These things about Jesus, the gospel message, the glorious gospel message. He said in verse 30, I didn't read that one, but in verse 30 it said, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book." But these things, you know, I think sometimes there's another place in the Bible, I can't think to tell you where it's at right now, but in essence, what it said was, if everything was written about Jesus, there's no book big enough to contain everything that was written about Jesus. And that, in essence, is what this verse just said. There's a lot of things that aren't written about Jesus. But he said, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life. How? The verse said, through his name. Whose name? Jesus' name. You remember what Paul said in my scripture reading? He said, wherefore God hath highly exalted him. Who? Jesus. God hath highly exalted Jesus and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. No one excluded. No one will be able to elude it. Every knee shall bow of the things of heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. At the judgment, there is a judgment day that's coming. I don't know when that's going to be. It's closer today than it was yesterday. I know that. But there is judgment that's coming. And even those who are condemned, the Bible says that the unrighteous are condemned already. And even those who are condemned at judgment, they are going to acknowledge Jesus. They are going to acknowledge his authority. But it'll be too late for their eternal soul. There's nothing they're going to be able to do about that. We sing a song sometimes. Sister Pam and I were talking at the association yesterday. We picked up one of the songbooks, and they were different editions of the same songbook. And I opened up the first page, and I said, yep, this song is on the first page of this edition. I said, is it on the same first page of that one too? And she opened up her cover of her book, and she says, yep, it was. Anybody know what the song is? Don't put off salvation too long. That's how important the message is, that they make it the very first. It's not even page one. It's on the inside cover of the book that we were looking at. Don't put off salvation too long. Everyone has to answer the very same question. And the question is simply, are you prepared? The question is, are you ready to meet the Lord in judgment? I can tell you this morning, as I bring my message to a close, it would be far better to acknowledge the name of Jesus in this life with a repentant heart of faith and be saved, and at judgment, when we stand before the judgment, to joyfully, as the verse said, confess Jesus to the glory of the Father and to have peace in heaven. Be far better to be in that position than to be in the position where you have to acknowledge Jesus and his authority, as he says unto you, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. I wonder this morning, Christians, I hope that when we hear the name of Jesus, that it floods our minds and floods our soul with what our Savior did for us and makes us rejoice and exalt and praise him. The question before us this morning, though, is it well with your soul? You know, that's where it begins. Is it well with your soul this morning? Or do you need to seek the Lord this morning? Do you need salvation this morning? As we extend a song of invitation, I wonder, are you concerned enough about your soul that you would be willing to come to an altar of prayer and talk to the Lord? That's how salvation comes about. The Bible says it comes about with a repentant heart of faith. In other words, we have to, we feel a burden. That burden is when the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, pricks our heart. That's what happened to those in the Scripture on the day of Pentecost. Their heart was pricked as Peter brought forth a powerful message. And what that means is that they came to the realization that, hey, I'm lost. I'm separated apart from the Lord. I need to be saved. And then once you realize that burden And that drawing of the Holy Spirit draws you to an altar of repentance, wherever that is. If you're burdened this morning, it could be this very place right here. But at any time in your life, when you feel that convicting power and drawing of the Holy Spirit, that's when you need to make an altar. That's when you need to call upon the Lord. Why? Because He's near. And you need to come to Him. And you need to ask Him to save your soul. And I believe, based on the teachings of God's Word, that if we're sincere about that, He'll save you. How will you know? Because that burden of conviction won't be there anymore. You won't have the pain of the heart, but there will be a joy there because God has given you an assurance that you're safe and secure in Jesus. And then we begin to live the life and to bear the name of a Christian and let the world see Jesus through us. Let's stand together. Let's sing together. Is there anyone today that's unsaved that needs Jesus? The invitation is before you. What will you do with it today?